We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
The baseball season is go, go, go. It's nonstop, relentless for every night, six straight months, and then hopefully another month in October. You also have work, friends, family, and a million other things going on. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. I mean, the mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Is there anything better than opening up your refrigerator after a long day, seeing that icy cold Coors Light can or bottle in your fridge? The answer is no, there's nothing better. That's why when it's time to chill, you choose Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So that's why when you want to hit reset, reach for a beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. This is episode 518, kind of. You'll see in a second what I mean. So this is the audio from our locker room live recording we did on Saturday afternoon during the Yankees game. They were playing the Pirates in spring training. And Scott and I, you probably heard us talking about this for last week or so on the podcast. We're going to be doing, using this app called Locker Room. It's an audio-only social media platform where you can create your own private rooms. You can join the room. You guys can join the room. And then the cool part about it is there's other people in there, and then we can call you guys up to speak, and you're just on the show with Scott and I. And there's a lot of chatter going on there's like a text option too. You can just type some comments. You can ask some questions. So it's very live and interactive. It's kind of like taking a private Twitter channel conversation, turning it audio. And obviously we're talking about Yankees, talking about what's going on in the game. And it was a lot of fun to do this during this game. It's a spring training game, so there's not a ton going on as far as what we're talking about of in-game action. But we talked about the roster, about the rotation, about what the starting lineup might be. And then, of course, there were some random tangents. We had a Pirates fan come on and join us. There's some random tangents. Towards the end, I think we started talking about Sylvester Stallone's arm wrestling movie. So random stuff on a Saturday afternoon of spring training baseball. Hope you guys enjoy this live stream. We're going to be doing them every week. So make sure you download the Locker Room app and you can join the next one. Talk to you guys soon.
It's Who else is there? All right, so we got Gardner. I'm watching. I don't know how far behind I am, but I'm streaming. So Gardner,
yeah, I'm
in left, NBC Hicks in center, yeah. Judge. Yeah. This is a starting lineup. This is a starting, except for Frazier and left.
We hope.
Maybe. Possibly.
I mean, would it be that much of a shocker if Gardner gets the opening day start? I mean, what would you put the percentage at? I put it at like maybe 25%.
0%. It's 0%.
I don't think you truly know the manager, Aaron Boone, then.
I do. 0%. He likes the optics. So day one, it's going to be Clint Frazier. Definitely.
Yeah, there would be some backlash if it was Brett.
I mean, for sure there would be backlash. I just, I don't know. I guess I'm just cynical.
Yes, you are. All right. I am sharing this link out now too. And for everybody who's hearing a new voice, we got a new guy on the show as producing the show, producing, interning on the season, Bob, who is actually, a part of the family, really. Tyler was our second intern ever behind Dom, both Marist guys. And Bob is actually Tyler's little brother, also now a Marist guy. So, I mean, we're full blow Marist three for three right there. So
let's go.
Welcome to the squad. We're happy to have you here for the season, dude.
Yeah. I mean, this is exciting. I'm looking forward to meeting everybody, getting to know everyone a little better.
There you go.
It's definitely new to me, but it's exciting.
It's funny how it worked out, because Dom introduced us to Tyler, and then obviously Tyler introduced us to Bob. So yeah, I love that it's staying in the family, and Bob's going to have a pretty big role this year in the podcast, which we're very excited about. And I do love how on day one, as a true college kid, comes down with COVID day one.
Yeah.
It is how you weird. Feeling? I just got my second vaccination today, so my left arm is like toast right now.
Oh,
but
shit, I didn't know you were in the process of getting vaccinated, Scott. That's awesome.
Yep. They got me on the list because Kemp is high risk, so they put the parents on the list when they had some extras.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You feeling all right, Bob? I know we talked yesterday. Yeah. And said you were doing all right.
Yeah, I'm definitely like congested and stuff like that. But it's weird. Like I said to you yesterday, it's weird like seeing all over the news, like all the symptoms and stuff like that you could get, and then like actually getting it. It's just strange. But yeah, I'm doing well. Thankfully, I'm hopefully going to be over it in the next couple of days.
All right. So this is Charlie Hayes' kid. I forgot. We've been looking to see him. He didn't play the last couple of games, right? I think he's, I remember.
Yeah, they've got the
talking about. He's a big prospect.
They've got the picture up on the Yes Network right now. Charlie Hayes, what a memorable. I mean,
pretty much like, all the guys from the 90s now have kids in the major leagues, or on their way. It's pretty crazy,
isn't it? Crazy what just catching a pop up to end a World Series will do for your legacy. Because if that pop up is caught by Derek Jeter, are we still talking about Charlie Hayes? I'm not sure.
I mean, not to the extent, probably not.
Exactly.
That's a big deal. You got to make sure you put those outs in the books. You now become a part of the win.
So
Kluber,
you want to start with Kluber? And I feel like
why don't we start with J-Mo, just because he pitched yesterday. We've already seen what he did, and
scoreless streak.
Man, that dude is looking. He's looking really good. He really is. He's looking very good. And you know, the new mechanics, just from, not like I watched him a ton when he was on the Pirates, but I look back at a lot of the just him pitching, just to get an idea for who he is. And his mechanics are really, they're very different. I mean, his arm is much shorter on the backside of his windup, and it seems like he's adjusting to it with really no issue. In fact, it might even be adding a little bit more deception and making the fastball pop on the batters a little bit faster. So I'm liking it a lot.
What do we always say about spring training stats? When they're good, you can get excited about them, but when they're bad, you can just chalk it up to it's spring training. The guy's working on things. So of course,
yeah, but that's the thing. That's why you got to look beyond the numbers. You could see just the way that he's just going with his mechanics.
Looks like
and how comfortable he looks. And you know, you're looking at velocity, and his breaking stuff looks sharp already, which is just really good to see.
real quick, it looked like Gary and Kluber just got crossed up. It looked like Gary was expecting a straight fastball and Kluber threw like a slider cutter or something, I think, and he missed it. But yeah, I mean, Taillon, we talked about this maybe 3 weeks ago on the podcast, expectations for him as far as workload goes, but could we just potentially see a shorter, more effective pitcher out of him this year as he's working back from second Tommy John? Like, is five innings a start just like what the expectation should be from him? And if we set our sights on that and not expect six plus innings every time out, then maybe that's a successful season for him.
I think that's a good method for you to do it so that you don't complain about him every time.
I reserve the right to bash him and bash Boone when they pull him after five innings and 88 pitches. But, I reserve that right.
Well, no, that's the whole point. You're taking it away right now by setting your expectations. So, yeah, I mean, look, I think that's what we're going to see probably from Kluber, too. We're going to see five, six innings, and they're not going to get them too much. But I think it's obviously going to be more about the pitch count rather than the – I think for those guys – they are definitely going to try to limit the amount of pitches and less about the amount of times through the order. So it's not going to be like a Tanaka scenario where, okay, third time through the order, definitely pulling him no matter what that pitch count is. I think they're going to be more locked on the pitch count than anything else.
Remember that article I was referencing about guys coming back from Tommy John surgery? And there's really no correlation to number of, number of pitches per start thrown and re-injury.
Yeah.
It's kind of just like, you would think, oh, if you limit a guy to 85 pitches instead of 105 pitches, then you're going to preserve his arm. But there's no data to support that.
Yeah. Show me the data also on anything about a guy with a second Tommy John. So who knows? Yeah. I don't think it really, if he's healthy and he feels good,
Anyone ever had three Tommy John surgeries? Like, I want to, because we talked about how Evaldi also had two Tommy John surgeries, bionic elbow. But, like, is there a guy who's gone for three and
in the majors? I don't know.
Or at least in pro ball. Like, after the second
one. Here you go, Bob. Bob, here's your first task, Bob. has there been a guy that has three Tommy John surgeries and successfully made it back to the major leagues to throw a pitch? Hey guys, if anybody wants to talk in the room, although also just hit the speaker request thing. Come on in.
Talk whatever, any topic you want. We're open to on these live streams. But when you go into your second Tommy John surgery, you're basically saying, all right, this is it. This is the last one. This is it for my career, good or bad, however this works out, right?
I mean, it depends how old you are too. Because, a lot of these guys are getting them in high school. And then you have that, maybe that second one when you're early 20s. So it wouldn't be surprised if they had to go for another one. They're trying to keep the big league career alive, going for that third. If I'm a pitcher in the major leagues and I get two, I'm definitely going for my third. Why not?
All right. It's in. Johnny Venters has gotten three and made a comeback.
He's got his
first procedure in 2005. And then second one in 2013. And then he tore. What does it say? And then 2018, he made his last comeback after another Tommy John surgery.
But he's out of the league now. But he did try and come back after number three. Damn.
Yeah.
2005 to 2018.
Does he have major league stats for that last time around? Did he pitch in the majors?
Let me go look.
I mean, that's just
Steven Lenardi might have beat you there, and he won the comeback player of the year. After the last one,
he's got to, right? You come back from a third Tommy John surgery, you throw one pitch in the majors, you deserve comeback player of the year. Nice.
That's the thing. Like, I don't think the amount of them doesn't really matter, right? Because once you get the surgery, then it shouldn't matter. I don't know how much of that is fluky or just based on your mechanics or just based on the fact that your body doesn't hold up, but I mean, if you think about the way that Tommy John is, the ligaments are new, right? They replace the ligament. So do you just then, I guess it depends on what kind of, which ligament they're using. If they're using one from a body part or if it's
on LeMahieu,
foul ball, LeMahieu. Yeah. You may just have soft UI ligaments all throughout your body.
Yeah. Well, where do they take them from? Don't they take them from other parts?
Yeah.
Or do they do cadet, like cadet?
Back in the day, they used to do it from the ass. And then I think there's potential cadaver, and I don't know if they're synthetic or not.
If you know you're going to be a candidate for Tommy John surgery and they're going to be taking ligaments from your ass, you should just be doing squats and lunges all day to just get those nice and strong, those ligaments nice and tight. And then so when you come back, you're like freaking rookie of the year throwing 100 miles an hour from the bleachers.
So the way to have a successful Tommy John recovery is to have a tight ass and make sure that they pull the ligament directly from your ass. That's
prove me wrong.
That's the book.
Can you tell me otherwise? Because if not, then I think I'm going with that.
I cannot tell you otherwise, not yet at least. Bob, this is where we're leaning. Or you're getting beat. You're getting beat to the punch,
yeah.
Bob.
Yeah.
I'm seeing in the comments, Steven, you want to join and talk, hang out? The who's pitching? Brubaker.
This is a topic that I know Rich Kaufman on Twitter and I just were chatting about. Does Judge's stance look slightly more open?
I did not see it
out to right field, so you're not seeing it, but. But it could have been just the camera angles in spring training or something. But I swear his front foot is like, you know, a half a step more towards the third base side.
Real quick, Wizdala is saying, Mike Wizdala, a writer for an editor at Bronx Pinstripes, is in the chat as well. He's saying that Jose Rio had 5 Tommy John surgeries.
What? Yeah, that's insane.
That's crazy.
I mean, you're just showing off at that point.
Getting them for fun.
If you're a doctor, like, I guess, I mean, obviously it's different from surgery to surgery, but you getting cut open that many times, I don't know.
If I'm a major league baseball player and it's my elbow and it keeps happening, but I have some time period of success after a surgery, I'm going back to the well every time. If they'll do it, I'm doing it. Otherwise, your baseball career is over. Why, you know, what's the other option? Unless you have something, unless you're giving up on your baseball dream, and you got other options going on with, you know, whatever else you're doing in life, you're going back to the well and you're getting that surgery again.
Well, yeah, because
maybe pick a different doctor this time.
Well, it's not like if you're having back surgery or something like that that could prevent you from actually just being mobile later in life. Then it might not be worth it, but. Tommy John surgery, I don't think, is going to prevent you from doing things when you're 50, 60 years old. So yeah, you're totally
no. Right. Just make the last one. You're the TJ that takes you through quality of life. Don't play baseball after the last one.
He missed 5 years too. He sat out from 96 to 2000, and then came back and played 13 games in 2001, 31 in 2002.
And that's the 5 Tommy John guy.
Yeah.
Jose that's Rio, yeah, he played with the Cincinnati Reds. I remember.
That's,
I remember.
That's
I got some
record, right?
I got some Jose Rio baseball cards.
Well, I think you're saying like quality of life Tommy John. Do you need Tommy John surgery if you're not throwing a baseball overhand?
I personally need Tommy John surgery right
now.
No,
because you're operating in daily life just fine.
No, yeah, but I can't. I like to play tennis. I like to play racquetball, and I cannot do that right now. If I were to get Tommy John surgery, I would be able to play racquetball.
Quick question. Do you wear rec specs when you play racquetball?
Of course, you have to. Is that You're crazy if you don't.
Is that a law? Is that a rule?
It's a law, yes. You're going to jail if you don't. No, but you're going to take your eyes are... It's tight quarters, and you got the racket, the backswing. You definitely get hit. It happens often.
So I see.
Plus, I wear rec specs for every sport because I have a bad eye. If I lose my good eye, I'm in trouble.
We've got 9 people in the chat here. Steven, Andrea, Kyle, Evan, Dennis, Taylor, Howard, James. If you guys want to talk, request to speak, and we'll bring you up.
Bob, what did you think? Did you watch the tie-on start?
I did not. I couldn't figure out the stream, but I saw some of the highlights. He looked
good. Yeah, that's what I was watching. I saw the highlights. I did not see it live.
One person did raise, though, on Twitter. They mentioned... The base traffic. There's a lot of guys on base. think he got bases loaded at one point too.
Yeah, that last it looked like he definitely got out of some jams, which is a good sign.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I was most impressed by the breaking stuff. I mean, it was sharp. It looked really, really good. So I think that is I would assume that after Tommy John, after your second Tommy John, that's actually the one pitch or the thing you're looking for most is breaking those balls off, snapping your wrist, getting that. There's a lot more torque on the elbow than there would be for a fastball. So I got to believe those are the ones where, you know, they're making sure that he's protecting that elbow as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. This is a question for both of you guys. Scott, you can answer first. What starter, new starter? So obviously that's Kluber, that's Taillon. I guess you can include any others in there. What starter are you most looking forward to watching this year?
There's no doubt it's Taillon.
Yeah, more than Kluber.
Yeah. Right?
It's like Kluber. I mean, Kluber has upside, but I just, I feel like here I go with these X factors again, though. Like, isn't Taillon kind of the X factor of the rotation? It could swing based on his success this year.
Totally.
You could put them both in there just because Kluber's look good in spring and we're going to conveniently rely on that right now. If he's effective, Hicks just hit a ball into the gap.
There goes Hicks with a hit, which I've been criticizing for him not getting.
He's been hitting well, actually. He's been hitting very well. Yeah, his stance now.
Off guys working on his fastball. Yep. Okay.
Talking about stances, Hicks, right? He looks like Robbie Cano a little bit in that stance right now. He's definitely changed it a bit. He's got a little bit of a Robbie Cano setup.
Is he also doing the juice like Robbie Cano?
Possible.
Down with that.
Possible.
Robbie Cano giving a little of those supplements. The lineup construction thing, it's been a topic we've kind of beat to death, but this does seem like the starting lineup.
Except for left field.
Possibly with the exception of Gardner. Where is Gardner hitting in the lineup today? Is he hitting ninth?
I didn't see. He's probably in the eight or nine spot.
Check.
So if assuming Gardner's hitting ninth, would you say Frazier's going to be hitting ninth?
Ninth.
That's just like an easy swap in, or is Frazier going to be hitting higher in the lineup?
Yeah, I think he's probably going to be in the ninth spot. I could maybe see Urshela in the ninth spot over Frazier. But yeah, I could see that.
Weston. Yeah. You're good.
So, I mean, the lineup, obviously a lot of good names in there. It's a matter of, I don't know, health as always, I guess, with the starting rotation. That's why I'm just like, yeah, it's cool that Taillon's looking good, but it's just a matter of health with him and Kluber and Montgomery and all these guys.
Well, no, it's not just a matter of health. It's also a matter of them bouncing back from injury and how they look while healthy. So that's a big deal because that's still a relative unknown. And the fact is these guys right now are healthy and they're both looking good, executing their pitches. They're, you know, the velocity is where they want it to be. So I actually think that you're undermining what's happening here because these guys are coming back from both of them. They haven't pitched in over a year. And the fact that they're right now, while healthy, looking good, that's a very positive thing. I mean, Kluber definitely looks better than expected so far, just looking at the stuff and what he's doing. So as a veteran guy who's, you know, a Cy Young winner, I could see him with lesser stuff. He doesn't need the same stuff to be very, very effective. So, you know, he could still get extremely positive results and put up a big year if he stays healthy with lesser stuff because he's that smart.
Andrea asked in the chat if there's any plans for a late summer event. I mean, it's just impossible to tell at this point. I would hope that maybe later in the summer or early fall, there's something we can do, but it's really impossible to plan it at this point, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's definitely top of mind though. I'm definitely talking with them and making sure that we're queued up for it. We had, I think, six events ready to go. We had six games. It's really unfortunate because we had the first game against, it was the Tuesday game. It was a weekday game, but it was May the 4th, the first Tuesday game against the Houston Astros coming into town. And that would have been glorious because we would have been able to just get really dumb on a Tuesday dressed up like your favorite Star Wars screaming at the Astros. But they took that away from us.
The May the 4th games, I went to that, I think, 2 years ago. They gave away, I think it was like the Glaber bobblehead or one of the Jedi bobbleheads. Those are fun nights. It gets wacky, but it would have been even more wacky because the Astros are there.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope there's vitriol towards the Astros again this year. I just hope it's not like too much time, too much shit has gone down in the world since it happened.
Plus some of the guys are on different teams now. It's a little, yeah. It's gotten different.
Yeah.
It's unfortunately, I mean, in a sick way, best thing that ever happened to the Astros is the pandemic.
Yeah, definitely. The season with no fans was a plus for them, unfortunately. Evan's asking if we've already talked about say that again.
What's the capacity at for Yankee Stadium? Is it still 10%?
Still at 10%. I don't think they've bumped it up from 10% yet.
They're going to, because they're doing 50% for indoor venues. So I don't understand how you can do only 10% for outdoor venues.
Yeah, there's definitely through the grapevine we're hearing that they're going to be bumping it up pretty soon. So I wouldn't expect it to stay at 10 unless something were to change.
I'd say close to 50% for opening day is a realistic expectation.
Maybe. I mean, yeah, they're not going to have a problem opening it up at any point. The thing is that it depends when they do it. They got to make sure they plan for it, because right now you have to have 48 hours. You have to prove that you don't have COVID, essentially. Within 48 hours of going to the game. So it's also a logistics. Think about an event like that. You have to not only buy tickets ahead of time, you have to try to position people, in the same area, and everybody has to do a COVID test and like pass it. You can't, that's practically impossible to coordinate for.
Everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. David says, is Voit possibly, did Voit possibly get even bigger? Well, he trimmed down last year, right? He did the keto diet.
Yeah. But he does look swole. He does look like he's just
looks swole.
Thick.
No. I mean, is that a good thing? Because we heard about how Judge and Stanton in the offseason did more yoga to improve their pliability and flexibility. It's like, we don't need that. Like, Voit wasn't he doing set? I think I saw him on Instagram setting his personal record for one arm bench press. It's like, dude, that's not what makes you a good baseball player.
It does for him. I mean, he's looking like Giambi right now. He's looking huge.
Yeah, and Giambi was a model of health.
Hey, Giambi had some big years. I can see Luke Voit smoking a home run in the rain, flexing. He's got that. He's even got that little mullet going a little bit. I could see he's definitely getting to be like a Giambi look.
So you're saying he's the modern day Giambi?
Yeah, sure. Have you guys listened to Susan and Sterling yet this year? John and
no.
Susan?
No. I have not.
I have. They're complaining about everything. It's hilarious.
Again? Like they complained all last year.
They have so many things to complain about now.
They're remote, right? They're not actually in Tampa, are they?
I don't actually know that. I'm not sure. I think they might be.
Okay. What are they complaining about?
Everything.
Give me one example.
Alternate sites, the keeping players healthy, not having the minor leagues to start. I heard some complaining about that.
They still don't know
who the players are, which is the classic spring training John and Susan.
That's a them problem. Okay, but what are they complaining about the minor leagues being delayed? Like that just makes sense from a COVID standpoint. That makes sense from a teams getting healthy.
We don't have to break down any of their complaints. They're usually not rational. It's just funny listening to them complain.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, I do love a good complaint.
Yeah, I figured you'd appreciate it.
So one thing we didn't talk about because the news happened like 5 seconds after we released our last episode, but Zach Britton is going to be out for 3 to 4 months with elbow surgery to get rid of some bone spurs. I guess the first major blow of spring training, right? Unless you want to include Clark Schmidt,
Chirinos just went down.
I don't consider Robinson Chirinos.
No, it's not a big one, but it's something. It's a depth piece. I just invited Kyle Radley in. What's up, Kyle? How you doing, man?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good, Kyle, good.
You're a regular submitter to mailbags and stuff. Welcome, man.
Thanks. Yeah, yeah. Long time listener, first time caller. Nice. This is cool. This is, I'd never even heard of this app until you guys started talking about it just recently.
Yeah, it's gonna be growing this year. It's a dedicated sports room, kind of the audio social. They've definitely added some cool things in too. They've added they have the chat, which I think is a big deal. A lot of the other apps do not have the chat. And they have some gamifications, it looks like, inside here now too. So
we're going to be doing one per week. Obviously, we'll give a heads up on when it'll be, usually during a Yankees game.
So early thoughts, Kyle. What's on your mind early spring so far?
I'm liking everything I'm seeing so far. Can't really get too worked up about the couple little injuries. Losing Britton sucks, but I mean, I think they'll be fine, as long as we can get it back by like All-Star break. Just want to see everybody healthy. I really don't care about, what guys are doing. It's great that Gary's hitting bombs and all that. I just want to see people healthy on April 1st.
I'm totally with you. That's like I was just saying that about Tyon. Like, it's cool that he's got a scoreless inning streak, but I don't really care about spring training performance. I just want to see this team healthy because we have not seen it healthy for three seasons, and that's really frustrating. As a fan, I tweeted out this from the podcast account the other day, and like it kind of resonated with people. I understand injuries are a part of sports. It just really sucks. They're such a major part of this Yankees team. It's just really exhausting.
I feel like for so many guys on the Yankees, like Judge, Stanton, and just the Yankees overall, I'm so tired of seeing it when healthy. Hey, great team, if healthy or when healthy. It's like, I just want them to actually be healthy so we don't have to talk about how good they could be if they're healthy.
Mm-hmm. So. Absolutely. It's same shit, different year, it seems. And it's like every year we're like, oh, well, Cressy and his sports science and his different things to train better. It's like, when is that going to actually take effect?
It's this year. This is the year. You have to let them be in the system for a little bit. Now they're in the system and we're seeing the positive results of that. That's what's going to happen this year.
Okay.
It's all about this year.
I mean, we've had two pitchers go down with serious injuries so far.
Bone chips are not much of a thing you can really do. Look, I'm glad it's bone chips, first of all, and not anything, structurally related with the ligament or anything else in the elbow or shoulder. To me, that's good news that he's got to have bone chips cleaned up. It's not as big of a deal. Obviously knocks him down, and then as a pitcher, you got to rebuild, but that lengthens the timetable a little bit, but I thought it was good news given the situation.
How does it affect the bullpen? Because you can make an argument Britton's their best relief pitcher.
I can make an argument that in the long term, it will actually improve the bullpen, similar to how we've seen some guys get there, like Urshela, have the opportunity to step up. I think Johnny Loaiza is going to have an opportunity to show some more stuff. And if he can take advantage of it, he's going to get some really good, probably, relatively high pressure reps given the what they're going to. I mean, he's going to be probably what, seventh, eighth inning. We could see him in either Loaiza, one of those potentially.
No, you got Britton. I mean, you've got Green that bumps up. You've got Darren O'Day. You've got Justin Wilson. All of those guys are ahead of Lasagna.
I don't know if Justin Wilson is either. And I don't know if Darren O'Day is either. It depends on how they use him. But if Loaiza has, as good stuff as anybody from what they're talking about, if he could control one inning, he definitely slots in better as a 7-8 inning type of guy. Like, that's what he should be.
Kyle, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, settle this for us. Are Wilson and O'Day ahead of Loaiza in the bullpen depth chart right now?
I got to lean towards, yeah, just because they're experienced vets. I mean, Darren O'Day, I feel like, is one of those super underrated guys. It's just been around forever. He's just solid. You can rely on him. Where Loaiza just really hasn't established himself. Yeah, he's got great stuff, but, I mean, he hasn't really been through it yet. But then again, right. Chad Green was kind of throwing in it. He kind of was a surprise. What was that, 2016?
Yeah, exactly.
And he just kind of came out of nowhere when they needed him.
Yeah, no, and could the that's one of my point. That? Sure, but
that's one of my point is that you want a righty that throws hard in those innings most of the time, whereas lefties are going to be more
look, Wilson just gave up a grand slam. They were up 5-0, gave up five runs in a blink of an eye the other night. He's got to show me something. Darren O'Day is, how old is he? 38, 39 years old?
39.
So, but Loaisiga is a guy that they've had around the clubhouse for a while. Both of those guys are just coming into the team. If you don't think that they want Loaisiga to take that spot, and early on, I could see them giving him opportunities to see it. I'm not saying he's the most trusted guy in the bullpen. He's not. He's got to prove it. But they want him to be, so I have a feeling they're going to give him opportunities to step up in a similar role.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with that. If you tell me by July 1st, Loaisiga is ahead of those two guys, I could totally see that happen.
Which would you prefer of those three? Which would you prefer pitching in there if they were all pitching evenly?
Well, I think O'Day and Wilson, like Kyle was just saying, they have much more experience pitching late.
That's not the question. If they're pitching evenly, everybody's pitching about the same, who do you want? Who do you want to be that guy?
The eighth inning guy while Britton's out?
If those three that we just named, Wilson, O'Day, and Loaisiga, are all pitching right around the same performance, they're
performing well. If they're all pitching around the same performance, yeah. I really don't care. It's a coin. I don't care.
I mean, you want Loaisiga to develop, no? I mean, you'd think that you want the younger guy in there to get those reps.
Fine. Yeah, because of that reason, sure. If they're all pitching equally, but...
Glaber but down the again, line.
If they're all pitching... You know, equally, but who do I think can handle a late inning role right now? It's Wilson or O'Day.
Yeah, well, show me a guy in April proving it. I don't care about pressure situations in April as much.
Well, if in July we're having this argument about the three of those pitching equally, that's not a bad problem to have.
That's right. You're right.
Let's hope we're talking about that and not like, oh man, Loaisiga, he needs surgery on his elbow. And Justin Wilson, like, man, his foot's hurting him.
Bite your tongue.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of stuff on Twitter the other day about how they should go out and sign Shane Green or David Robertson. And my first thought was, how has Shane Green not been signed by somebody?
Yeah, it's amazing how many good bullpen arms there are still out there. I think we're going to see guys get signed. Because they're going to just need to take, they're just going to take cheap money. I think guys are going to get signed.
Especially bullpen arms. I mean, a couple of years back, that happened too. And they actually signed, Kimbrel signed pretty late.
That was a horrible deal for the Cubs. So I don't think
it was a horrible deal. But he got a relatively big contract at that time.
He did. But like, if you're telling me David Robertson or Shane Green or one of these guys is going to sign for a couple million bucks a week before the season, I'll believe it.
Did Shane Green have a down year last year? That's surprising that he's out there. Robertson, I can understand.
Didn't he lose the Atlanta closing job? Bob, you wanna look that up for us?
Yeah.
I mean, 2020, he pitched 28 games, 2.6 ERA. He looked fine. I guess he just didn't pitch that much.
I kind of confuse him and Melanson because I know they both pitched in Atlanta and they're both ex-Yankees.
Melanson lost the job for sure.
That's who it was. Okay, so Melanson lost the job.
But Atlanta signed a whole bunch of relievers last year too, so I don't know what position he was. I don't think Shane Green was closing games out last year. But I am surprised that he's still out there. I don't know is he asking for too much money or... But
does
that's surprising.
Anyone know also on the chat, you can say if you know. So the Yes Network app, what do you need to get that as far as like watching games through that? Do you need a cable subscription or is it location based? Does anyone know?
No,
yeah, it's a big problem.
Cable subscription. That's what I thought it was going to be. David Futternick. What's up, Futternick? You want to join here? I'm inviting you to speak.
What's up, boys?
Obviously, the Yes Network was dropped on Hulu Live, and they were dropped last year on YouTube TV, and it's like it's so freaking annoying.
Yeah, it asks for a cable subscription when you log in.
Cool, David. What's going on?
What's up, boys? I'm currently signing up for it as we speak with my father's cable subscription.
Let's go. Let's test this out right as live guinea pig.
It's just I'm so sick of like I 2 years ago I cut the cord and I got YouTube TV because the Yes Network was on it and I really liked YouTube TV. The interface was great. And then they dropped the Yes Network. So I was like, all right, I'll switch over to Hulu Live. The app is not as good as YouTube TV, but it still got me the Yes Network last year. And then they dropped them this year. So it's like sick of chasing my tail on this.
This will be a good test, though, because you're in California, right, David?
Yeah, I'm in LA.
So if you're in LA, you should not be able to get it on the app.
Yeah.
But if you do, and you're logging into family members there, then now we're in business. That's the case.
My wife's cousin actually he used to direct the Mets games for SNY, and he actually just got hired to direct the Yankee games, and he's like bitching and moaning today because he's like enjoying our fucking commercial for the app all day. It's like
it's all they do. They throw it down your throat.
Is this the new? Do you understand the gravity of your illness? Remember that commercial from what was that? Montefiore or whatever.
Montefiore, yeah.
Scott, you probably weren't getting those commercials a couple years ago, right?
I was getting the Montefiore commercials.
Yeah, it's like when you watch through the apps, whether it's MLB TV or like one of the cable, like the YouTube TV or something, you get the same rotation of four commercials.
They were doing that early days too when they had it was like Edward Jones or one of the Schwab or one of the brokerages had full display ads all over, and they would repeat those over and over again. But then they started on the stream. They started just going to like a screen that says you're in a commercial break.
Yeah,
which is a waste of advertising space. All right, so we got some. Dennis is watching the game on the app in Pennsylvania on his parents' Cablevision. Are your parents' Cablevision in the tri-state? So they would be getting it at their house, right? It's not blacking out because of your location? Or would you normally get it where you are in Pennsylvania? Because it depends where you are in Pennsylvania, I think. If that's the case, that's a parents live in Long Island. If that's the case and you just need to log in, that's a game changer.
Yeah, but you still need to know somebody who has the cable subscription in the local market.
Then changing your location with like a VPN or something.
They make it nearly impossible.
I just wish I've paid for MLB TV, I think since 2007, which was the first year I was in college. So I've literally had a subscription every year. It's $130 a year. I'll pay $230 a year if they just don't black out the local games. Just let me watch the subscription I'm paying for anywhere I want. It's so annoying.
The regional sports networks are the reason why you're not doing that, because they all have contracts.
I understand why, but it's just charge me more and then pay those networks out. I don't know. I just want it for simplicity's sake.
So many loopholes.
All right, so who's getting excited about Gary Sanchez at this point? Anybody? I'll say this. I think that the dude looks at least confident right now, and his approach looks better. And that's all I'm really taking away from it. I'm being very careful with my expectations on him right now.
Isn't confidence such a huge thing, like the mental game with Sanchez? Like, I feel like that's the old Yogi saying, the game is 90% mental, the other half physical. With Gary, I think that's true.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dennis is saying, I think you only need a local TV login, and I think I would get blacked out if they played Pittsburgh or Philly.
That makes sense.
Baltimore. I don't think it does, because then that would be identifying where he is geographically still. So he shouldn't get blacked out if that's the case. Because what the app thinks is that he's in Long Island, because Long Island is where.
No. The app doesn't care where you are. The app just cares if you have a cable subscription and you're paying for Yes Network through your cable subscription.
I don't understand it. I don't know how you're watching it on Yes at that point then. Because you can't watch it on right now. So unless the app is just like the loophole for spring training, maybe. We'll find out during the season.
I feel like it has to detect where you are, like MLB does.
Possibly.
Does anyone else use Fox Sports Go?
No, I don't. So
that's what I usually get it on.
Taylor,
that's what I use.
Taylor says this about Gary. My worry with Gary is if he starts 1-for-10 on the season, he sees that 100 batting average on the scoreboard, then starts to press too much and it snowballs. If he starts 3-for-10, then watch out. Yeah, it's a simplified way of saying, like, it's all mental with Gary Sanchez. Because 1-for-10 on the season is nothing. Like, you go 2 for your next 5, and it's like, fine, you're back on track. But 1-for-10, it could snowball for him.
Yeah, so Steven's saying that he's not able to watch it as part of his package living in Philly, but he's on the app and it allows him. So maybe the app is just a loophole for spring training. We'll see if that actually is the case during the season. I would highly doubt it.
Because MLB TV is not blacking out any spring training games.
No, I know, but you can't watch the spring training game. Oh, is this on MLB TV as well?
Yeah, I'm watching it on MLB TV right now.
Maybe that's the case. Because you're not watching it on the YES Network on TV. It's not on.
Really?
Yeah, they go to different program. Or at least they have all spring for the games. They go to different programming.
Right. You gotta watch reruns of the Michael Kay Show or some Yankees classic
or some other
2000.
They don't even play those. Yeah, they don't even play some Yankees. They take Yankees out of the equation and play some trash.
The Nets highlights.
Rose is asking if he's the only Pirates fan in here. Yeah, I'd say you are, man.
Oh, let's get him on.
You want to talk some Pirates? Talk some shit. Let's go.
Let's get a scouting report on Taillon.
He might not have seen him pitch.
Oh, he pitched in 2018.
Yeah, I'm just saying, maybe not.
Was he a year and a half old? Does he want to come on? Are you able to?
Yes, I got it. I'm doing it. So okay. I'm inviting people.
I might be glitched. My bad.
There you go. What's up, man?
What's up?
How we doing? Are you in Pittsburgh?
No. I'm in a completely different place than Pittsburgh.
Okay. But I will never tell you where that is. I got people listening in on the line, not telling you. Yeah, so Jameson.
What the hell are you hiding? Hold on. What are you hiding?
Oh, me? Are you asking me?
Yeah, you're like, I'm in a completely different, undisclosed location. It's like, if you tell us.
No. It's just, I have like I like all Pittsburgh teams, but I've actually never been there, which is wild. I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
Do you have family from Pittsburgh?
No, I don't even have any connection. Like,
you just picked Pittsburgh. You're like, maybe early on you like the colors of one of the you like black and gold.
Yeah. That's exactly why.
Are you a ketchup fan? So you like the Steelers?
No, I just like the colors. I started liking the Steelers, then 2 years ago, the Penguins, and then last year, of all years to be a Pirates fan, I decided to be one.
You're like, oh my God, they all have the same colors. Let's go.
So you were right, Scott. He said 2 years ago, I decided to be a Pirates fan. So you have not seen Jameson Taillon.
No, I have. He actually went to a high school near me. So
okay. So,
I mean, he was probably a beast in high school. That's what everybody who plays in Major League Baseball is. So.
I mean, yeah, he was a second overall pick, which is pretty cool.
Wade Boggs got cut from his high school team.
At what point?
I think when he was a freshman. Okay.
So he was a beast when he was a junior and a senior.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you that I watched Jameson Taillon in Pirates days. So.
Well, he's been injured.
Yeah, it was short lived. So yeah, he does look different. He really does. When you look back at his Pirate days when he was pitching the bigs, like, his arm had full extension, really, really long, deep extension. And now it's just a much shorter back, arm motion. It looks very different. So it looks more like an infielder throwing a ball than a pitcher.
The Pirates, are you familiar with the Chris Archer trade?
I know a little sad history about the team. So
yeah, I feel like that's
the only history so far in my living days. So
yeah, I just feel like there's been so many missteps with the Pirates. Like, they did have some decent teams in the mid 2010s. I think they made the wild card once or twice.
Yes,
but it's just, they've made so many odd trades that they're kind of perpetually in rebuild/go for it mode and just never makes sense.
Yeah, I think they got two straight wild cards in 2012 and 2013, maybe. But that's when the NL Central was insane, so they decided to be good at the worst time.
They had what's his name? He went to the Royals, won a World Series. Johnny Cueto. I think he was their ace back then, right? Sounds about right.
Cueto on the Pirates? No. Cueto was Cincinnati.
Was Cueto not on the Pirates? Am I mixing that up?
No, he was on Cincinnati.
Oh, Oppo Field.
Wait, he has the dance, LeMahieu. Right? He does the little dance, right?
DJ.
Yeah.
He does the dance before a pitch. That's what I
know. Yeah, Cueto was Cincinnati. He was not Pittsburgh.
Yeah. He got traded in 2015.
Who am I thinking of was the... I know Garrett Cole. Like, I'm not stupid, but...
yeah.
Who was the... Hold on.
DJ looks damn good already, too. See, I'm going to definitely get excited about that just because we've seen it.
What's up? Well, DJ looks good because he's good at baseball. He's their best all-around hitter.
Are you thinking of AJ Burnett?
No, I'm not thinking of AJ Burnett.
He was a stud.
He did have a couple of decent years with Pittsburgh after the Yankees traded him.
DJ. I love that. Opposite field home runs are just sexy.
Yeah, he was an all-star the only time in his last year. So
Burnett was? Yeah.
Yeah, when he retired.
Yankees fans don't even hate on Burnett because he did come up so big in that Game 2 World Series 2009, but he did suck for the Yankees other than have a big playoff moment, but that's really all it takes for you to not be hated by a fan base.
Especially a Yankee one.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty simplistic, but you win a championship and you do well in the playoffs, you're gonna be remembered well.
I'm looking up some Pittsburgh Pirates rosters now.
Yeah, going deep into Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah, checking out who we got. Liriano was good for a bit there. He was older.
Edinson Volquez.
Cincinnati. What is it with you? They're not even. They don't even. There's nothing. I mean, they're in the same division, but I don't know how you can imagine a player and while they played with the Cincinnati Reds, like imagine them in a Pittsburgh Pirates uniform. They're so very different. Jay Happ was
yeah. Francisco Liriano was on the team at the time.
Jay Happ was there.
Jay Happ was a Pittsburgh Pirate.
Yeah,
but he was also a Philly.
Charlie Morton was there too. Vic Black.
Who did Charlie Morton sign with Atlanta?
Yeah, I think so. Let me check.
I would have liked the Yankees to just get him. Like, who would you rather have had, Scott, and anyone on this call? Corey Kluber or Charlie Morton?
Corey Kluber or Charlie Morton.
He was drafted by Atlanta, too.
And I feel like they signed for about the same money. And I just feel like Morton's a safer bet than Kluber.
God damn it. I'm going to eat some shit here. Son of a bitch. I hate when you're right. I barely even think you're thinking about this, though. I almost think this doesn't count. But Edinson Volquez was on the Pirates for a year.
I mean, I didn't say it. Steven said it in the chat.
Oh, okay. I wasn't seeing that. I thought you said it. Yeah, Volquez was there for a year.
Is it Francisco Liriano you're thinking of? He was there in 2013.
We said that a couple minutes ago. It could be. No, that's all right. Taylor says you'd rather have Kluber than Charlie Morton. Like, I might be with you that Kluber might have slightly more upside for this season than Charlie Morton. But Charlie Morton is just so steady. And as a number two or number three pitcher in the playoffs, like, I'll go in with Charlie Morton as my number two in the playoffs and feel good about it.
But if Kluber's there in the playoffs and he's gotten all year, things are probably going well for you.
Totally. But I'm just saying, at this, when you're making the decision this offseason,
Charlie Morton's no young pup either. I mean, Charlie Morton, who also had injuries.
Did he just get a home run?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Oh, that was a home
Kluber. Kluber just gave up a bomb. It's close. It's close to a coin flip. I'm like 60-40. I lean Morton over.
Kluber seems like a higher risk just because of the recent injuries, but Morton was hurt last year, too.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. He's slightly higher risk because he's pitched like six innings since 2018.
AJ Burnett was actually
yeah, and Morton's not always
pretty good numbers, to be honest.
Do the Yankees always wear these jerseys for spring training?
Yeah, except for their first spring training game of the season, they wear the pinstripes.
Is there a history or is it just why not?
I don't know the history behind it. It's probably because they have, you know, some stick up their ass traditions.
And that's true. This is they have like the shaving tradition too.
Yeah, the appearance policy.
It's a nice thing. It's a welcome into the year. The fans like seeing the pinstripes on day one. So I think I like that. It's a nice tradition. It's a good tradition. Traditions are good things.
No, I mean, I don't mind. I do think some teams have too many jerseys. There's too many variants. And I like that the Yankees have one home, one road. I think it's cool. And you got like other teams like, I think the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, it's the teams that aren't good and need to sell jerseys, so they just make different ones.
Yeah, like some of them are.
They have the ability to take more risk with what they're wearing.
Like, would you be cool if the Yankees implemented one alternate?
They did. Last year they did that, the all black.
Oh, yeah.
That was a fan weekend or whatever it was.
Yeah.
It's
fine. It was still an alt jersey. It was when they played the Dodgers too. They had an opportunity to go like two classic franchises wearing, you know, their classic uniforms, and they completely screwed it up.
What I'm saying is like, yeah, that was kind of funny. The Yankees, like, say every Saturday afternoon home game, they're wearing a different jersey. Like, would you be cool with that?
Get off my lawn. Answer is no.
Okay. I mean, I don't really care. We're just talking about jerseys. It doesn't really matter. But I mean, speaking of jerseys, I think Pirates jerseys are pretty good.
I think they're top tier.
The black and gold Gio with the Derek Jeter throw, not in time. Black and gold is just a combination.
See that Giambi mullet?
It's a top tier combination, like you said, black and gold in sports.
Yeah, they're just wasting it. So.
Voight is looking swole, and that I'm liking the hair. I'm liking the. It's almost to the shoulders. It's like just there.
Swole throwback.
Yeah, it is. He's looking like Giambi.
They're showing on the broadcast Corey Kluber's 2/3 of an inning he pitched with the Texas Rangers before he got injured. It's coming up on 2:00. Scott, are you gonna keep going? I gotta run soon.
Yeah, we'll do. What is it? Top third. We'll do the through the third inning. How about that?
All right.
That should be good for you too.
Yeah, I should. I should 2:15. I gotta bounce.
You gotta go hit up some Ramsey, New Jersey things.
That's right. That's right.
What are the odds of that? Like I have so much family that lives in Ramsey. My parents both went to Ramsey High School.
It's honestly not surprising considering all of the connections that we've had unknowingly throughout like the past 5 years. Like your best friend growing up, his mom is good friends with Leanne's mom. It's just like some random connections.
All right, Kluber, let's get out of this.
And to think we met on the internet 10 years ago.
Oh, he's leaving pitches up. Oh, Judge, nice. Judge makes a nice running catch into the gap. It wasn't really the gap, but close enough.
Judge is huge. My goodness,
you're not used to seeing guy.
There was a picture of him recently next to Shaq, and he looks like a baby.
Oh yeah. I
mean, yeah. Did he get his teeth? Why did he get his teeth fixed?
Yeah, we were talking about that. It was an odd decision because he went through the. If he was going to get it done, he should have done it after 2016, his rookie year.
yeah,
and like then
it could have been a brand.
Then he finishes. You know, he has a monster rookie year, and he keeps the gap tooth, and it's like, okay, this is going to be his calling card, like Michael Strahan, like just rock it.
That's where I think it is. I think that's part of it is that there was already a gap in New York. The gap in New York was Strahan.
Yeah.
I guess.
You don't want to be the second gap in New York, right? I mean,
there can only be one gap.
Yeah, there can only be one gap. And if
If there's ever like a debate, oh, what gap are you talking about? You don't want to be in that conversation, I feel like, unless you're the first one.
You don't want to be the second guy.
No, you definitely don't want to be that second person.
I heard Nick and JJ talking on George's Box that he got it done between the Super Bowl and spring training when he reported, because there was a picture of him at the Super Bowl and he still had the gap. So there's like a 10-day period before he reported the spring training that he got the work done.
Good for him. He's setting up.
How did you get it? It wasn't definitely not braces. How do you just magically close your
veneers,
gap?
Baby?
Veneers.
They basically go in and you can hear him talk like in the beginning. I don't know. I think he's growing more accustomed to it, but that does make sense because he was talking like he was wearing a retainer that first week, the first press conference or the first time he was up at the podium. They basically like shave down your teeth to nubs and then they put veneers on top of it.
A lot of people in Hollywood have veneers. Like, go look at Ben Affleck's. Google Ben Affleck teeth from Good Will Hunting. And then Google Ben Affleck teeth any other movie. He has veneers.
Good Will Hunting. Oh, my gosh. What is that?
He's got a busted grill.
He's got some funky looking teeth in that movie. That's before he won an Oscar, before he got famous.
So he's got Goodwill. He's got the Good Will Hunting teeth, then. They paid for his teeth.
I mean, yeah.
They
freaking won an Oscar for best screenplay on that movie. You damn well,
and that's and you get some you get some new teeth with that.
Yeah, that's get that new teeth
up,
money.
Don't look up. Yeah, definitely don't look up Ben Affleck tattoo.
Yeah, doesn't he have a lower back tat?
He has a whole back tattoo of a dragon.
Yeah, he's gone through some shit.
That's quite wild. It's not even a good dragon. So
he's had a weird. Well, speaking of Ben Affleck, J-Lo, A-Rod and J-Lo broke up. I mean, as if we all didn't know that was coming eventually.
Are we expecting a complete spiral right now? Something's going to happen, right? Like, I don't know how A-Rod comes back from this, to be honest. It was really as good as it was ever going to get.
I thought they were saying that they're trying to like work things out.
I mean, probably, but
that was the new report today. Definitely not looking good. I mean,
if you're trying to work things out publicly, not good situation behind closed doors.
Yeah. J-Lo has had her own share of like celebrity high profile breakups. Like it's not like,
but nobody cares about that.
No, but like A-Rod is just, he can't stop being a jackass that he had to screw up. He had to screw up marrying Jennifer Lopez and actually being liked by the public again. He had to screw that up.
Yeah. It's only down from here.
Did you guys discuss his Instagram post from yesterday where you made like a sailing pun and he's just like looking like the saddest fucking person on a boat? He's like, here I am taking a selfie.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I was like, oh bro. Oh.
Yeah, it's
day one when J-Lo's not writing your Instagram posts.
Well, I thought his daughters were doing his Instagram.
It's possible. They need to. They certainly wouldn't have typed that out. Poor bastard. Now he's down in my neck. Here's where cousin Yuri comes back into the picture. He's like, oh, he's down again. This is where the snake in the grass comes into play. Cousin Yuri's just making his moves. He might have been the reason why they broke up.
No home runs for Judge in spring so far.
Good. Focused on just making some good contact. Home runs will come.
Yankees have a nice part.
So you know,
we're talking about the open stance right now. So his left foot is definitely outside the. He's had that stance though. He's always had that front foot open a little bit.
I know it's always been slightly open. I feel like it could be the camera angle of spring training. I just feel like it's slightly more open. But I mean, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. Doesn't look it really to me.
Do you know what I'm like? One of the things I'm most excited about this year is the new baseballs and if it actually does reduce home runs.
Yeah, that says a lot about you know, and that's what you're excited about. The baseballs.
I'm just thinking about the good of the sport.
Richard Rodriguez, the dude pitching right now, related to Pudge.
Oh yeah, isn't Pudge's kid?
I think Pudge's kid is up. Yeah, I thought he was with the Pirates for a minute. I don't know if this is. I think it might be a different Rodriguez though.
Pudge's kid is a pitcher though.
Yeah, and he was with the Giants, and I thought he was with the Pirates.
Don't think he is. He played for the Orioles.
Yeah.
I'm glad he put on the beard. It's a big difference maker.
For who?
The beard.
Yeah,
for Richard Rodriguez.
Oh. Derek Rodriguez is Pudge's kid. Yeah, so he was he's with the Rockies right now. He was Giants. Tigers, Rockies, never the Pirates. Got it.
Aaron Hicks.
Look at that. It's going to sit
fair. It stays fair. Hits the bag.
What a beauty. What a beauty. That's our three hitter right there. That would have been that's a great leadoff hitter who can bunt like that. Let me tell you.
That is wild.
But like, wait, that was a bunt, right?
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was.
Why the F are you bunting in spring training?
Because there's nobody there. That's what you're doing. No. You're practicing. Spring training is literally practicing.
You're practicing hitting. You're not practicing.
And bunting. When are you going to practice bunting?
In batting practice.
Mm.
No, you needed live game reps. That was beautiful. You know what he did? I can't believe you're shitting on him for this. He just took what was available to him, and he practiced doing that. You know what that's going to do? That might actually get him more base hits because the shift affects him so badly. We should be celebrating what he just did.
Okay, Scott, remember this conversation. It's March
15th. I am.
Does this once during the regular season, I will say you're right. Once. That's all he needs to do it once during the season.
After looking at that beauty, he better do that again because that was a gorgeous bunt.
Ooh, if he successfully bunts with the shift and gets on base one time during the regular season, I will think back to this March 13th spring training game and say, you know what? Good thing he practiced that.
All right, good. You should have to do something terrible too, though.
Isn't admitting I'm wrong terrible enough?
Nevin's looking. So arm wrestling, here's a good question. Luke Voit, Phil Nevin, over the top, who's winning in an arm wrestling match?
Joe Girardi.
Nevin and Voit.
I know. I was saying, Voit, definitely.
You're completely, you haven't gotten your old man strength yet. You don't
know.
Yeah,
I know. I mean,
yet.
Nevin, but like Voit is like steroid strong. Okay. Like
you don't think Nevin's on, I mean, Nevin very well could be. Nevin's got that.
If you're saying like Nevin or someone else other than, I just feel like Voit.
No, I'm saying one moment in time. You don't have to save any energy. Just one explosion. That's it.
No way.
Nevin's okay, massive. Thank
you. Well, there
we go.
Can Nevin have like a case of Miller Lights?
Yeah, he can do it. Exactly. Pound it. Pound a case of Miller Lights.
Have you seen the movie
Over Old Man Top? Strength, Beer Strength? Let's go.
You made the over the top reference. I'm assuming you've seen the Stallone movie.
Not for a very long time, but yeah.
Has it? Anyone else on the stream here? Have you guys seen Over the Top?
I couldn't tell you more than
you own it.
Oh yes.
I mean, it is. It is such a good bad movie, but Stallone has so many of those. Like, I wouldn't even put it in the top four Stallone good bad movies, but I do enjoy me some.
Who said they own it? I have a follow up question.
The motion of him like going over the top is fucking ridiculous. It's
okay, so if you own it, how do you watch it? What do you own it? Is it like a digital copy of this?
It's a digital. It's called the DVD.
It's a DVD. Okay. You watch DVDs now, still. So, yeah.
No, yeah. I didn't buy. I didn't like. You know, it wasn't rent to buy on Amazon.
It's all about making the turn with the hat, flipping around backwards. Yeah. That's where the power comes from.
Yeah. I got to watch that movie again. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I just remember getting a kick out of it. Man. That was when that was just like, was it late 80s he did that? Maybe early 90s? Just like.
I think late 80s, yeah.
Just like when action movies were just based on the stupidest concepts, but you were just like, I'm in because it's Stallone and
a good soundtrack. And just a fire soundtrack.
Like, I'm going to watch Stallone be sweaty and arm wrestle for the next 90 minutes, and I'm good.
All right, boys, I think we're going to wrap this up.
All right. This was fun, everybody. Just appreciate everyone joining. We're going to be doing this every week during a Yankees game. So definitely keep joining in.
Give us a follow in locker room. We'll send you invites when we do it. All right, gentlemen. Talk to you guys soon.
Yeah, this was fun. Everybody. Good talking.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.